All right. Good morning, folks. Happy Friday. Welcome back. We got the whole gang with us again this morning, and I'm glad to hear that Jeff is back online with us. He's been traveling, I guess you could say, the last couple of times. And last week we had some issues with the internet as well on David's side. Thankfully, we did have a guest host back with us. So if you heard that show, I hope you enjoyed it. And I need to fix it online. Evidently, there was a problem with the online version. But in any case, we are back today. No shortage of stuff to talk about. I guess we ought to get the senile elephant in the room out of the way first. There are plenty of other things, as the State of the Union is absolutely dismal and being destroyed literally at warp speed. But since we had one of the biggest lie fests by a senile guy in American history last night, and I read the transcript, I didn't actually watch the abomination live, and I think probably that's true for a lot of us. I'll let everybody comment on their own on that score. But no shortage of things to talk about here. First, let me go to David first and say good morning. David Justice, and I know you you told me you listened to a little bit of it, but go ahead and tell me what you thought and what your reaction was for as long as you could stand it.
Well, first of all, I don't know how they prop that guy up. I don't know whether he's on drugs or what they do before they put
Rest
him out in front of an
is.
Audience to
He didn't
to
go
read
out there drug-free.
His script. But somehow, I think some of that was wearing off. I watched it for about 15 minutes. I guess it was a 47-minute speech, but one lie after the other, you know, it's, you know, what they're trying to do and what he's doing is he's just trying to keep the people who are not awake. He's trying to keep them asleep by telling them what they want to hear. I mean, that was a tell us what you want to hear speech, and the whole thing was about. It was all fluff, and there was no truth in it at all, and so I turned it off. I couldn't spend my time with that. So, you know, I wanted to just read other people's comments about it today. Tucker Carlson has some great perspective. Anyway, I guess we'll mention it in passing, but, you know, go ahead, Mark. Run with it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I agree. I as a lot of folks know, I don't have live television. If I watch things, it's usually snippets on a slow internet connection. So we don't have live streaming, and I don't want to spend any money bringing the crap into the house. And I guess the lying State of the Union kind of tops that list as far as things that I'm not sorry that I missed. Although, yes, I understand. I do have to subject ourselves, because we need to understand what's going on, even if it's despicable. It's kind of like saying I need to watch an occasional speech of Adolf Hitler or have a copy of Mein Kampf around so that I can read and see what the enemy and his acolytes are doing. And that's really true. I did see a couple of I watched a number of clips this morning, including one where Marjorie Taylor Greene confronted him and handed him a Laken Riley badge and asked the senile guy to say her name. That was kind of painful to watch. He literally looked like he didn't know who she was, what she was asking, what he was doing there. And let me read you just a snippet or two from the daily, from the Gateway Pundit's coverage. The 81-year-old senile guy, quote, on Thursday evening delivered his third State of the Union. A confused Biden shuffled along, took selfies as he made his way to the speaker's dais to deliver his speech. As he approached the House chamber, and there's video on this one, he asked his handler, all right, am I going this way? And then he basically stumbled onto the stage. He short-circuited during the presentation, lost his battle with a teleprompter as he lied about the 2020 election and so forth. It would have been a comedic if it wasn't so hate-filled and vitriolic. That was the comment that I think is kind of most salient. Tucker Carlson said this, and he was a lot more cogent than the scumbag masquerading as president. He said it was, quote, the darkest, most un-American speech that he'd ever seen. He had Victor Davis Hanson on, who said literally it was the angriest speech that he could remember. And ultimately, he said it was kind of like an old guy saying, get the hell off my lawn. And that is, I think, unmistakably true. There was a lot of vitriol. There was a lot of hatred. As Tucker Carlson noted, right off the bat, he declared Trump, whom he never would name, but he declared him to Adolf Hitler and so forth. It was an exercise in watching a senile guy try to plot his way through reading a teleprompter. And I actually spent a few minutes at least. I listened to about 10 minutes of it this morning. The little bit, and you're right, it was just despicable. But what was interesting was he didn't do a good job of reading what the White House supplied teleprompter speech was supposed to be. You could see where he was flubbing lines, and it was useful, I guess, if you wanted to try to see what they were telling him to say, to read it yourself rather than hear him read it, because it was kind of incomprehensible in places, even though you got the general gist that was basically democracy is a great god and we worship at the altar of democracy. He made democracy sound like a god more times than I care to count. And, of course, the problem is that is not the form of government that we were supposed to have. Go ahead, Jeff. Let's hear your comments on it.
Well, I, like you, Mark, don't have direct access to that form of media, so I didn't watch it either. And I have found from previous exposures to this type of entertainment, political theater, that it angers me to the depths of my soul. And so I purposely avoid it and enjoy listening to others like Tucker, like Alex, Victor Hansen, those people of more even moderate political perspective. But it's one of those things you could probably watch with the sound off and not lose any of the meaning. And I'm reminded of listening to you and others and David express their opinion of it. It reminds me of our next door neighbor. Back in Chicopee, Massachusetts, Mr. Babby. Now, Mr. Babby was from some, you know, Slovak country, Romania, someplace back in Eastern Europe, like my relatives, and he had a real thick accent. And it's like you said, you know, you guys, hey, get off my lawn. Well, Mr. Babby used to walk out and yell at us kids that were playing hide and go seek or ball out in the street. And he'd run out of his house, he'd open the door to his house and be standing there in his pajamas and those slippers where you just put your foot in the front and his bathrobe. And he'd yell out, hey, you kids, no fucking around on the road, eh? And he'd go back inside the house. That's what it sounds like that Biden did last night. Scolded everyone and then went back in the house.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
Well, and there was more. I saw this online. I went looking for a transcript, and there are several. Most of them are behind paywalls, like the Communist New York Times has theirs behind a paywall. And I'm sure not going to pay them anything, especially not for lying. But what I thought was humorous, this is the headline on the CNN politics page where they have the transcript up says, full Biden State of the Union annotated and fact checked. So they're going to fact check the senile guy. Now, what's funny, of course, is usually what they're doing is they're correcting what he's saying so that it sounds more shrill and angry than he actually was able to project in spite of his vitriol. But listen to this. This is a part where he's talking about Putin and bad Putin, and Putin is a threat to democracy, and Ukraine could win this war if only we'd give him another few tens of billions of dollars and the rest of the weaponry that we're not using to defend the southern border. He says this, my message to Putin is simple. We will not back away. We will not bow down. I will not bow down. I may fall down, but I won't back down. History is watching. And then he switches gears, just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th. Now listen to CNN's annotated fact check and see if this sounds like fair and balanced. This, they said, was an important turn from standing up to Putin to the threat of insurrectionists at home. Trump's affinity for Putin is no secret. And then he goes on to talk about how we all saw with our own eyes these insurrectionists were not patriots. They had come to stop the peaceful transfer of power and overturn the will of the people. Yeah, the people who pull my puppet strings, the rest of you people can go to hell. This is what CNN says when they fact-checked that bit of BS. Quote, everyone saw it, but many Republican lawmakers now downplay the threat posed by the January 6th insurrection. Johnson sitting right there behind the fake president, was among the lawmakers who objected to the counting of electoral votes in key states. Biden won. Well, yeah, he cheated fair and square in 2020. And this is the kind of crap, folks, that passes for analysis from the ministries of truth. Go ahead, David. That's about all I can stand of this.
Well, what we're dealing with, and, you know, we say it a lot here on the show, but let's really drill down and call it what it is, okay? The administration is involved in deep hypnosis. There is a psyop going on that the reality is the invasion from the South, and it's those inside Biden's administration, and it's not Joe Biden, he's a puppet, are orchestrating the overthrow of the American people. They've already taken over the American people's government, and now they want to eliminate the American people. They want to eliminate anything that would prevent them from exercising tyranny and dictatorship, which is what the Constitution was originally designed to prevent. It was written during a time of people coming away from religious and persecution from the state for not going along with the state ideology. And so the Constitution was erected in that context. And here it is at the fall of America. And don't we are falling if we've already fallen. The only thing left standing in the way is the American people, who are completely armed, and the Constitution, which is hanging on by a thread, and this troublemaker named Trump, who is championing the truth. Now, when he wins, we don't know what he's going to do with it, but right now he's demonstrated himself and his following to be public enemy number one. And of course, that's what Biden distinguished last night, is we're the greatest threat. And what he's not saying is to them. We're a threat to their invasion. We're a threat to their coup d'etat. We're a threat to everything they represent. We're a threat to their narrative. But the only way we can really be a threat, and this is why we've got to be careful with Trump, okay, is the truth is really the weapon at this junction. Knowing who we are, knowing who the enemy is, understanding power and love of money, and understanding the lukewarm nature of the institutional church, you know, understanding these things is really what our side needs to be about, so that when the people of the world, when they finally wake up and realize that, you know, we're moving toward a totalitarian dictatorship, and I shouldn't say moving toward it, we're already in it, but when they wake up and wonder what happened, we become the light of the world that we're supposed to be. And so this is, to me, as I look out over the landscape, I see, you know, we've fallen, and this is our opportunity to wake up and really distinguish history and facts and true spirituality and relationship with our Father, because this is ultimately the only direction that we can go to have any impact on the circumstances within which we're dealing, Mark.
Okay. Jeff, you want to comment on anything more about that? I mean, we could continue to mention all of the commentaries that were out there. I guess the thing that I think is probably the best summary I've seen is, literally, it was crazy, was what Tucker Carlson said. He had Alex Jones on a little bit, kind of addressing a similar point to the one David just made. Jones said, with regard to the radical left, there is a murder of logic. They're projecting their hatred on us. And I think that's very much similar to this whole idea of a narrative. The narrative is that, white guy's bad, constitutional guy's bad, Christian nationalist bad, anybody that basically rejects what we are trying to do to destroy this country is bad. And, we're going to prattle about how we're going to be fans of democracy, but just don't kid yourselves. When push comes to shove, we intend to kill anybody that's not on our team, and don't you dare think otherwise. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, to back up what you're saying, Mark, we're seeing that in the environmental movement. Don't go against the whatever the trend is this week, climate change or global warming or whatever it is. But yet the major issue is stopping the chemtrailing. We see these other ideas about they want to shove vaccines into us and mandate us, and yet we've got fluoride in the water. What I want to know is what's the plan for getting rid of the fluoride? What's the plan for stopping the chemtrails? What's the plan?
There's no plan for stopping them, Jeff.
Wondering, like we all are, what's the plan? A lot of talk, very little action, and we're supposed to watch the actions to test the fruit, not listen to the words.
Yes. Well, you're right. But again, when it comes to what's the plan to stop all of these things, the answer is the plan is not to stop it. The plan is to say the State of the Union is good. The State of the Union is being destroyed. That was our plan all along. And now we're not even hiding it from you. We may prattle about democracy, but screw you and the horse you rode in on and your chances of saying no to us. And ultimately, I said this before, but I think it's so important. Literally, what we saw was democracy held up as if it was a god last night. And I think that is the thing that ought to upset people when they realize that, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, we were never supposed to have a democracy. The founders talked about how such democracies have ever been as short in their lives as they've been violent in their deaths. No doubt about it. Democracy is, in fact, the devil's own government, as the founders also said. Two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner, as Ben Franklin said. And now it's a god. And it's a god that basically will not be denied. And one, I guess there was one other line that I did listen to where Biden essentially reminded the members there of their oath. He said, you took an oath basically to this great god democracy. Oh yeah, and don't forget was the point too. You took an oath against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And then there was applause, and I'm thinking, yeah, the enemy, foreign and domestic, is standing there victorious on the stage, rubbing your noses in your defeat and the destruction of everything that your sons and fathers once died for to try and defend. How's that for destroying, quote-unquote, well, whatever form of government we once had? Go ahead, David, then we'll move on.
All roads here lead to Obama. All roads lead to Michael. We're about to witness an amazing thing here as we move through this season of picking a president. There is zero way that they can let him win. There is zero way out of this except to go through it. I liked Alex Jones's prediction. I think it's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see Joe Biden assassinated by the left, by the deep state, so-called, and then it's going to be blamed on the right. And, you know, we need to really comprehend and get our minds around, again, who is the enemy, who are we, and what is their tactic, their strategy, is deception, delusion, a sleight of hand, gaslighting, everything that goes along with that. That is the adversary's technique. They are not going to allow anyone to defeat them, people. This is what we all need to get our minds around and get ready, get prepared to go through this thing, whatever, however it's going to present itself. But we are looking at an unmitigated disaster. We are looking at the fall of America. And to stop short of that and not say that is disingenuous. These people have to maintain control of the narrative. And what we watched last night, that entire speech, what is going on in Congress right now is all narrative propagation. Their worst enemy is narrative mitigation. We, if we really want to be at war with these people, we need to go into narrative mitigation. We need to distinguish, again, who we are, who they are. And that is ultimately why they killed our Messiah and King, is because he had the audacity to demonstrate the power of calling them out and calling it like it is. And so that's what they fear the most, and that is their Achilles heel. And so as we go out into public and make that distinction and just be cognizant of it, then we have an opportunity to really witness the truth, which ultimately it's the only way out from underneath this conundrum we're under, because, you know, we look back into Scripture, you know, we saw when Israel got stiff-necked our father rose up an adversary that they, Jeremiah said, don't even fight these guys because they're going to take you down. But because we brought this on ourselves, we, the people of America, we did this. We brought this on ourselves. And so we can't blame anybody. You know, we can point fingers as to how it happened, but ultimately, because we're the ones that caused it, we're the only ones that can uncause it. And the only way to uncause it is to attack their narrative and distinguish who the enemy is in this country at the risk of being rounded up and thrown into a gulag, because that's where they're ultimately going to go. But that's how we fight this thing. That's how we distinguish this thing. And that's how we play their warfare game, Mark.
All right. I honestly don't think their intent is to throw as many people in gulags as some might. I think their intent is to bring the communist Chinese invaders in and kill them, to kill as many as they can. That has been the announced mission of the communist Chinese. That, you remember the famous, well, not that famous because it didn't get much coverage, but the general that was essentially at the top of their military hierarchy, their own version of a Lloyd Austin, but this one is an openly communist member of the Chinese military as opposed to a covert one like Austin is. And he essentially said, we're going to kill every man, woman, and child. And they have not hid that. Jeff, any other comments?
Yeah, guys, this just points to the immediacy of our situation, our conditions. We've got to look, I think, at people like Ken and Barbie Cromar, Tom Fairbanks. We need to have a Bundy-like attitude about this intrusive government that, in order to keep ourselves free, we've got to be willing to die.
Okay.
And that may be the price that needs to be paid. In that situation right now, I think that we are preparing, being prepared for some major changes. I think our God's got himself engaged in a hell of a fight against his adversary right now, and we're just in the beginning of that engagement. So I don't really know. As we watch all these things, I think that it's really difficult for us to know if we're going to come out of, or my people, to refer back to your other show, Mark, which direction that means. Which direction, Lord, turn us around and at least get us facing the Red Sea. So we're not even aware of what we're coming out of yet. And really, it's just the most interesting time ever, and I am still confident in the end game result that the light will have a victory over the darkness. Good over evil will triumph and maybe give life, as God intended, an opportunity to express itself for the first time in history. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that's a positive note. Let me throw out another couple of things that were in the news this week that I think we need to understand. I did hear some numbers, and these are not official numbers, obviously. The Mayorkas, who still haven't been convicted. I wonder what's taken all this time. Not much on that score. Isn't that interesting? We're gonna impeach the scumbag, but then we're gonna just basically quit talking about it. I'm sure that was the media's plan all along. Anyway, meanwhile, while they have been fiddling and Rome's been burning, well, the swamp and the American populace has been burning. Texas is on fire, over 1 million acres down there, and some of the most productive grazing land in the entire nation. 80% of the grazing land in Texas is now on fire, and homes destroyed, and cattle lost. So there's your coming famine. But in any case, on the invasion front, the number that I heard, which was kind of shocking, this came from Steve Quayle's sources, and it's at least consistent with what I've seen others suggesting. 800,000 Chinese military troops, 800,000 Chinese military troops already inside the continental United States having been deployed, counting those that were already here and counting Chinese nationals that were, students and so forth that may or may not be on board. The number could be over 2 million. But essentially, that is a military invasion force already present in the United States. And it's dramatic, and that takes us to the break. Welcome back, folks, to the second segment now of the Drive Time Friday show. And as we were going to break, I wanted to just kind of wrap up a few things on what we saw so far. Where is the note that I thought was the funniest? This was from Zero Hedge. It's a great summary of the Biden Fuhrer. Actually, there were two summaries. Let me start with this one. The jobs data came out, and it was the usual lie. Bureau of Lying Statistics is why I've referred to the BLS for a long time. But the morning after the most dark and un-American speech in American history, said at least some of the pundits, including Tucker Carlson. Well, Zero Hedge put it this way. February jobs soar by 275,000, although isn't it interesting? Unemployment still went up. How could that be? They smashed estimates with the bogus numbers, but they revised January sharply lower, and the unemployment rate went to a two-year high anyway. Huh. So here's how Zero Hedge summarizes it. Death taxes and a Biden regime reporting a stellar jobs beat, then, as usual, revising it sharply lower 1 month later when the headlines are out of the way. So that is par for the course. But here's the summary that I thought was probably the best distillation via the aggregator and Tyler Durden. Here's how they put it. I'll just read a paragraph here. Having successfully raged, ranted, lied, and yelled throughout the State of the Union, Biden can go back to his crypt now. Whenever they gave Biden, I think by that he means the drug cocktail that gave him puppy uppers for an hour, every American, a man, woman, or children should be allowed to take, because though it seems like the cocktail end or the hour of the cocktails brings out dark Brandon. And here is the speech in summary, right? About eight bullet points here. Number one, fund Ukraine. Two, Trump is a threat to the God democracy and America itself. Abortion is good. American economy is stronger than ever. And by that, he means we've almost destroyed it, put a wooden stake in it. Inflation, though, wasn't Biden's fault. Illegals are Americans, too. Republicans are responsible for the border crisis. Trump is bad. Did I tell you Trump is bad? Biden stands with trans children, and if he doesn't have enough of them, he'll make more. And January 6th, was the worst insurrection in American history. Well, certainly since the Civil War. And again, they quote Tucker Carlson.
I'm just pacing.
This is probably the darkest, most un-American speech ever given by an American president. It wasn't a speech, it was a rant. And in a fair election, Biden cannot win. So, hey, mute your mic if you would, David. You got your mouth too close to the mic, and it's way loud. Okay. Anyway, so let's go to David. Let him comment on that. If you're, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
And it's great that I have such a good signal. I had to move to another location, and now I make the adjustment. I want to throw back in on this context because this is so important. This is where it lands. Reconcile the scripture where Paul distinguishes that God sends a powerful delusion. So those who don't love the truth will believe a lie. Now, the flip side of that is if we love the truth, we come out of the delusion and don't believe a lie. All right. So here's a remedy. Distinguishing that everything that's being thrown at us today is done by the hand of our Father. We've brought this upon ourselves. They are doubling down, they are tripling down, they are quadrupling down. This is what we need to be doing relative to truth. Well, what the heck is the truth? We're living in a world of delusion where they've taken religion itself. They've taken Christianity and weaponized it against us. And they've taken the Bible and weaponized it against us.
Oh, wait till you see what they got planned there.
The weaponization is inside the narrative, which is the delusion which God sends us. If we refuse to love the truth, then we're going to get a projection onto Scripture. So when we read it, we can't see it. You know, and therein lies our biggest problem is there's so many interpretations of Scripture, so many different denominations that are telling us how it is. Evangelical Christianity is promoting genocide and waiting for Jesus to come and rapture them out of this. And so everything inside that dynamic is a delusion. So everywhere we turn today, we get confronted with another delusion. And the only way out is to fall in love with the truth. Okay, so we're able to watch Biden's antics last night and distinguish that he's a complete delusionary figure. And if we're distracted by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth, or if we're following after an idol like democracy and we fail to understand what real government is, what true government is, like Romans 13, not obey the dictates of a dictatorship, but a true obey authority, which is in essence Christ is King. And that's what America is founded on, not on Christianity, but on the ideal that Christ, the Spirit of our Father, is King. And to the degree that we subscribe to that and move in that direction is the degree that we're going to be liberated from the delusion. So everything that we're experiencing right now is a result that can be changed. We had the power to create it, which we did. We have the power to uncreate it, which we can do by coming into the fullness of who we are and recognizing who they are, and then letting our Father come through us to work His will at this particular time. Jeff, you said it earlier. This is ultimately the battle of good versus evil, the narrative versus the truth, and He needs people. He needs people like, yeah. We need to embody with our flesh the words of truth. And inside that, we will find peace. We will conquer our fear of death. We will no longer be held in bondage by our fear of death. And we will perform in a way that we will watch miracles unfold in front of us. And this is a scriptural promise. It's not about getting out of here. It's about establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, Mark.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff?
Guys, I'm trying to wrap my head around what it means that the Bible we hold in our hands is a CIA mind control document, that it's really a satanic book, and that it's been used against us. And that before I allow that thought to cause any kind of consternation, I'm reminded that at one time there was only an oral tradition to the Word of God carried by the Hebrew people. It was only the version written on the heart that was being employed at that time. There wasn't one yet that was written down that was in the mind. We have allowed a major chasm to form between the Word of God written on our heart that we express and the Word of God written down that Satan inserted into the human mind to argue over.
Okay.
I'm going to leave it right there for that thought to sink in a little bit.
Well,
that if we are going to, it is going to be time for us to now consider an extra biblical relationship with God, an original relationship with God, apart from what we all know was the Bible, a book I love, but has been cast into a new light as a CIA mind control document.
Well, let me try to see if I can't phrase it a little bit. I'm not sure that I buy it the way you phrased it, Jeff, but I would say this. We're watching AI versions. We've watched,
me neither.
Harari, talk about how he wants to rewrite the Bible. They've got AIs already working on it, and they're certainly rewriting history. We've seen that with the Gulag search engine that basically produces imagery that turns anybody who is a famous physicist from Isaac Newton to the founding fathers and changes their colors and rewrites their words. They're absolutely doing the same thing with scripture. And I guess to kind of paraphrase what you're saying, for years we had King James who who wanted to make sure that one of the apostles was named after him, so we'll rename Yaakov into James. So it's not new that various potentates and so-called kings have rewritten scripture in order to change it. Romans 13 is a good example. Other places that say basically, when Big Brother says jump, you say how high? That's been going on for a long time. So the way I would put it is to say we need to be careful. We do have a written version of the Torah, which goes back and is more vetted than any other document in history on planet Earth as far as being an accurate representation. It certainly goes back further than any other written document that I think has ever been vetted, period. So we get to that point where we can say, all right, is it true? Let me put it this way, that a lot of people will say, that there's the Holy Ghost talks to me and it tells me that I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that and that it's just what I want that matters. And is that the satanic version of the Bible? Do as thou wilt. We have to be careful, in other words, because there is a spirit that's been unleashed in the world. It is not of the Creator. And that battle has been going on for a very long time and will continue to rage, especially as they try to rewrite what's there. And you're right, there are mind control versions of not just scripture, but about everything else too, including history that's out there. David, go ahead and comment on that. Then I want to throw out another item or two on the news front.
Okay, well, since we're throwing down on a corrupted scripture, I'm going to double down on a corrupted language. You know, Mystery Babylon, okay, let's look at this. Okay, Babylon back in the day, confusion of tongues. People couldn't talk to each other. Nobody understood each other because they were speaking different languages. And who was responsible for that? Well, our father did that too. The FBI, CIA, the deep state, Jesuits, how are we going to label these people? Whoever they are that want to control the world, they corrupted our language. They inserted an understanding of words so that when we read scripture, we can't see it. We take it literally and we stumble because we can't reconcile the contradictions while we're being told simultaneously that there are no contradictions when inside of the dynamic of the narrative, it's riddled with contradictions. So people are confused. And this is why I think Book of Revelation refers to this spirit as Mystery Babylon. It's not the spirit of wisdom. It's not the spirit of truth. It's the opposite. And inside that dynamic, we lose our way because we have been gutted in our ability to communicate with each other, to communicate ideas and to be reasonable in those ideas. Instead, we're operating inside of a dogmatic, limp-wristed, weak-kneed, slave-making gospel that emasculates men and women and reduces them to slavery, which is exactly what the deep state people want, and which is exactly why we're being invaded from the South to remove any remnant of truth that is still resting in scripture or in the Constitution or Declaration of Independence or even in white man history or even in the true history of Israel. So those are the things, the subject matters that are being controlled to funnel us into this destructive labyrinth of total confusion, which is what Mystery Babylon represents, total confusion. Everything's a mystery. It's incomprehensible. Just believe what we tell you. Join our church and put money in the basket. You can pray and you can, but you have no say. And as a result, we have a hierarchical structure on the planet that is being worshipped as an idol. Here in America, they call it democracy. But ultimately, it's a hierarchical model of control, top down, bottom up. This is what Biden wants. This is what the globalists want. This is what the Zionists want. Whoever they are, we won't even need to label them, but just recognize by their fruit, you will know them. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, let me talk about some other fruit, I guess, that'll take us back to where we are this morning, and what we need to be aware of. And I guess this goes with the, can we manipulate the narrative? Can we manipulate the text? Can we manipulate history? Here we go. During the State of the Senile address last night, a number of government websites were down for 20 minutes during the presentation. Multiple U.S. government, this is from the Daily Mail, by the way, which is not a right-wing publication. Websites for FEMA, the Department of Aktung, Homeland Security, U.S. Customs, Immigration Enforcement, and the Secret Service all had technical difficulty screens up for 20 minutes while the Biden Fuhrer was pontificating. No specific reason given, but the Department of Aktung Homeland Security says not to worry your pretty little heads. It is not malicious. No, it's our buddies, the Communist Chinese. Who knows? But don't worry, it's not malicious. And meanwhile, some of the nation was watching the bumbler, a lot like I think people watch traffic accidents, right? There's a kind of a morbid fascination with watching a senile old guy rant and yell at people and do stuff. Anyway, so that was part A. Part B. This was another incident. I kind of alluded to this, but it was interesting because the Daily Mail talked about this too. And I was surprised to see this up there. Biden flubbed the name of Laken Riley, the young woman who was basically executed at the hands of an illegal immigrant, a criminal even, from Venezuela, who's been charged with her murder. Speaking to millions of Americans during the State of the Union address, the fake president twice called her Lincoln, as he held up a pen bearing a name which had been given to him by Marjorie Taylor Greene. He got into a back and forth with Republican lawmakers. They had passed a bill earlier in her name in the House called the Laken Riley Act, which would mandate that migrants who enter the country without authorization, in other words, illegal invaders, and are accused of theft, be taken into federal custody. Green gave the pen to Biden, and then he proceeded to wave it around on screen when he lost track of where he was at and said, Lincoln, Lincoln, and held up the pen. An innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. But he said, hey, we got lots of people killed by legals. And, so that's what matters. The hell with you people who are worried about being invaded. And if I can't get her name right, even though I said I knew it, he didn't. It's just one more indication of how far, I don't know, not only out of touch, okay, his whole party and those that are pulling his chains are out of touch. The guy is senile, and he doesn't care, I don't think, that Americans see it. Maybe he doesn't know. Go ahead, Jeff.
I didn't really have a comment on that, Mark. I was just listening. I'm still struck by the fact that we're going to have to consider our extra biblical relationship with God. If you take the Bible out of our hands, what does that do with our relationship with our Creator? What does that mean? If we find that the document that we thought was the inerrant word of God has flaws, insertions, changes, deletions, even the Elohim went to a singular God, with all these changes, what if we take that book aside? Then what is our relationship with our Creator? It's the original one. What does that look like now? How can that help us now come out of her, my people, and fashion a nation on the other side of Revelation? I think that's the major question right now.
Okay. Well, I'll just say I don't know exactly what that means. I do think that my own take would be we got to fashion a relationship that's based on the concept that the founders once agreed on unanimously, that there is a God. Most of the left doesn't agree on that, and that what rights we have come from Him, and that among these are life, liberty, and property, and that the purpose of government is to secure those rights. And I think all of that has been utterly destroyed. It's being called Christian nationalism now to even suggest that what the founders wrote has any importance at all. And it's one of those things that's just an indicator of how far we've come. Let me throw out another indicator. This story from the Gateway Pundit says, another one. How many of these we're going to see? DEI in action. okay? This is, of course, DIE. And it's the leftist mantra about how we're going to get rid of competence and hiring people because they can do a job, and instead we're going to hire them because they worship at the right transgender altar or they have the right rainbow flags on their car. That's what matters. Okay, so what was it in action? United Airlines Boeing 777 was forced to make an emergency landing. What, another one? No, not this time, because one of the pilots that was poison poke keeled over. This is because a wheel fell off when it took off out of San Francisco, DEI Central, and it damaged cars in the parking lot. The flight was diverted to LAX, where it managed to make an emergency landing. FAA is investigating the latest failure of political correctness run amok. Go ahead, David.
you made a comment a minute ago. I got a comment back on your comment. When you suggested, and I don't remember the word you used, but you suggested that the administration is inept, I think may have been your exact word. I would like to offer for your consideration, no, these guys are not inept. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
They have willfully, maliciously, and intentionally dumbed down our education system so that things like a tire falling off of an airplane, you know, I don't know whether it was an incompetence move or whether it was a malicious move. The result is the same, but
it's hard to tell.
We're living into a time of ignorance, of willful ignorance and even stupidity. People are unwilling to consider. And it reminds me of the story of the Pied Piper. Everybody wants to. Everybody, like last night when I was watching the speech there, the State of the Union address, little minions. Everybody glad handing each other, and they're in this chamber of power. And you want to get on camera, or you want to touch Biden, or get a selfie made. These people are completely lost. And we got a news media that is promoting these guys as authority. When we are no longer dealing with an authority, we are dealing with an absolute breakdown in reality. And these are the people that are in control of that reality. And so, you know, if we enter into that world and we get caught up, we got to be careful that we don't turn that interest in that world into an idol that keeps us distracted from what we really should be about. And it's a dangerous thing to give, to dignify that thing too much with too much power. But is really, really critical to distinguish that what they're doing and the direction that they're leading. And I think, anyway, Mark, we've got a couple minutes. You go ahead and take us out of here.
We got about 1 minute, I guess. And essentially, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around how far gone things are. And that's why the State of the Union, I think, was so repulsive and repugnant. It was repugnant because the guy was so senile, and he's telling us everything is great. As a matter of fact, the State of the Union is almost as wonderful as the state of your benighted, almighty, so wise and benevolent and understanding leader. So there's the State of the Union. In other words, you watch a senile codger being angry and hating on the entire country and worshiping at the altar of the great god democracy, all the while they pee on the very concept of a rule of law. That shows you the real State of the Union. So I guess the truth is, Americans saw the State of the Union last night, and it's beyond redemption. Anyway, thanks, guys, and Shabbat Shalom, folks.